Welcome to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, covering car culture and the automotive world with Shane Osborne, Brady Wright, and Steve, the producer, Johan. Let's see what's up this week.
I cannot believe that it is December 18th already. My gosh, the year has gone screaming by. Yet again, another episode of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. I'm Brady Wright, master mechanic and metal butcher Shane Osborne sitting across from me as usual. And Steve, the producer Johan, a guy whose title is longer than his actual name. Back to the... You know that's true, right?
Yes.
The producer.
Longer
Steve
than Stanley.
Johan.
See, well, Stanley's my middle name, so it'd be
but
Stephen
ever.
Stanley Johan versus Steve the producer.
Well, then
Johan.
We say Stephen Stanley Johan, the great, almighty, omnipotent, all-seeing producer. How's that? Does that work for you? Jeez.
I got my headset off.
Business card.
My ears
just for
a couple
you.
Of deaf guys in here I'm working with.
Back to the blacktop is first. We won't be deaf. We're going to check out some happenings and stuff that's going on in the automotive world. And I know, without even looking at his sheet, that Steve has something cool to say about the new Lincoln Continental.
Well, that is later on, but let's go ahead.
Go ahead.
Have you seen the viral video of Tesla with the girl trying to put gas into it?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. That is a marvelous piece
Tesla
of work.
Up.
That's good. Thank you. Thank you for that.
There is something that's pretty vulgar about the T, and they are coming out with a fart app.
I'm sorry, what? But how did we go with putting gas in the
They
Tesla
are going too? To come out with a fart app that you
Who
can
is?
Put in your car. The Mighty T.
Really?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Decided he thought that would be a great thing to add to your car.
A fart app?
Yes.
Why?
So it makes noise. So it makes a fart sound. So
I can think of, if you change radio. I can think of literally 10,000 other noises I'd rather have
this
a car
This is the guy
make
that came out with Tesla down. Keela. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
And,
he's been drinking too much.
When did the show go sideways? It was just right after Hello, I think.
Well, he brought it up. It was not going to happen. I was going to stay away. I'm staying away from the T. You know, I am not using the real word. So anyway.
Thank goodness this is the end of the year, folks.
Is that a five-letter word? Yes.
Yes, it is.
Okay. No five-letter words around here. Oh, my gosh.
Money is a perfectly good five-letter word.
Yes, indeed. I came across this really cool article, and I'm looking for it because I've quit putting titles on everything. But Ford.
This may be the longest show we've ever done.
Okay.
Ford. Yes, go ahead. Ford.
Anyway, Ford has come out with a really cool Lincoln Continental.
Oh, yeah.
It is awesome. To mark their 80th birthday. And basically what it is it's got suicide doors.
Yeah, back to the suicide
there
doors.
You go.
And some plush interior. The cost is going to be about above $100,000.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be limited to 80 units.
80 units, really?
80 units.
Well, that's a
and,
short run.
There it is. Says very limited special edition. Only 80 Lincoln Continental coach door additions with center opening doors, commonly known as suicide doors.
Oh, they're calling it coach doors.
Yes, which Lincoln used back in the 1960s, as you were pointing out earlier.
62.
Yes.
It will also feature 6 extra inches of additional leg room in its plush black label interior, which would be great for Shane because he's a big boy. He likes to stretch that thing out.
Now, he'll never know it, though, because he's going to ride in the front seat. Well,
you don't know. He may get a chauffeur.
A driver.
By the time he can afford it, his daughter will be driving him around.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Well, that's going to come.
I don't think he'll be buying one of the
next week.
Well, they expect this to sell out the run quite quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And I think, quite frankly, it does not list the mill that's pushing this thing around, though. I want to know what the engine is.
It'll be a big block.
Yeah.
It'll be something big.
It's going to be the Mustang engine or something bigger.
No.
No, it's going to be a cruiser.
Yeah. Lincoln's got a 572 or some silly thing.
Yeah, something huge. Yeah.
Put the mic close to your mouth there, Shane.
Huge and smooth.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. No, it should be good. And I predict hereby that they are going to blow through the initial 80-unit run and expand it because people will want them.
Yes.
It will give them an opportunity to jack the price up a little bit, which, of course, is what you do.
It will be supply and demand. Black Label edition.
Very
Mark
nice.
Two.
Yes.
It'll be a Mark II, Lincoln Mark II edition. So, Yes, indeed.
And the picture that is going around on Facebook.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Is a gorgeous kind of a, it's not really baby blue. It's kind of a teal bluish sort of color. It's really nice with the black interior. It's a great looking car.
Hmm. Is that like an one taken outside or like in a studio?
You know, honestly, I just looked at the car. Sometimes I wasn't really looking at the background.
The studio lighting is like got that dark lighting kind of visual impact effect.
Sure.
I really like to see one that's just a natural
it's
outdoor.
It's probably computer generated.
That's what I think it is. It's computer generated.
Yeah, like the new Barracuda. No, there are no new Barracudas. It's just a concept.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, that's good news,
right,
though. I think that's a terrific idea for Ford. I think it's a good move.
Well, everybody knows that right now, as Christmas season comes on, usually gas prices are a little higher.
Let's go back there for a second. Ford's putting out another sedan.
Yes.
Yeah, see?
There you go. Lincoln Continental.
I just thought about that.
That's why they're only making 80 of them, see? It's a special run.
Special
because
run.
They've been really focusing on their Navigator, which
sure,
is their big,
sure,
you know,
maybe this thing
drive
is on a Navigator chassis.
There you go. Four-wheel drive.
Wouldn't that be?
Oh, four-wheel drive.
Yeah, now all-wheel drive.
All-wheel drive.
Now
yeah,
we're talking presidential.
All-wheel drive Lincoln. I
yeah,
like it.
Yeah.
Oh, now, guys, are you listening to us over there at Ford? I think that might be a good idea.
Yeah, we're telling
all-wheel
you
drive Lincoln.
You heard it here first.
Wow, yep, that would
that's
be
it
cool. As everybody knows, as Christmas draws near, we tend to drive a lot more, and pricing of gas tends to go up. But what they've discovered is overall across the United States, it is down. Average gallon of gas is $2.37 per gallon, and it's in the lowest since December of 2016.
Yep.
And I said, but with one caveat, that is if you live here in Washington State, because I noticed it was like, what, $2.99 at ARCO, which means $3.20 anywhere else.
Yep.
And I'm like, where are these guys getting these prices? But you know what, back east? They have income tax. They have other taxes.
Oh, yeah.
But the price of gas was 50 cents less a gallon back in New York compared to here in Washington
State. We're just tax happy out here. That's what it is.
Yes, yes, we are.
But it's true. I mean, price is really down. And, of course, you know, we're a 75% net oil importer now.
Yes.
You know, I mean, we basically produce more oil here than we import.
Because of fracking.
Well, yeah. And
then we got the tar sands north.
Yeah.
So we can bring in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And they've estimated another 500 years worth of, and they've also discovered that oil wells actually replenish themselves.
Interestingly enough,
they
go figure.
Yes, go figure. I wonder where the idea of running out came from. Well, which I was going to segue.
Let's not get into politics.
I was going to segue. There was a really cool picture on Hemmings and I looked and it was 1974. It was when the gas wars were going on, the gas crunch and stuff. But I started driving in 76. So
I'm here lad.
73, I was young enough, old enough to remember things. In my little town of Ferndale, we had no problem with getting gasoline.
Well, no, that's because you didn't have crazy people like in Seattle where the pump jockeys all carried guns.
Was it bad down here?
Oh, I'm telling you, Jack. I mean, seriously, people were nuts. There were huge, long lines around the block. And if you attempted to, like, cut a line, people get out of their car and beat on your hood with baseball bats. I am not even kidding.
Wow.
It was crazy.
Wow.
And the guys that worked, this was back when a lot of gas stations had people pumping gas.
Yes.
And
they all did that.
I mean, you know, even the economy stations had somebody out there at the pumps to keep people from just stealing. There was a limit.
Right.
You had a ration. Like, you could only get, like, 8 or 10 gallons at a top, you know. And the guys are out there with guns because it just got that stupid.
We our local gas stations.
I'm glad I missed
it.
Yeah.
You are glad you missed it.
Our local gas stations in Ferndale happened to be about 15 miles away from the refinery. So I wonder if there might have been a little bit of a deal here up there in that area.
Some might have fallen off the truck on the way downtown.
So we all got taken care of.
Out back.
Oh, I'm sure.
And if there was any problem, I'm sure they had an extra fueling depot out at the refinery, and my dad just filled up there because he worked at the refinery.
Yep. Up there, Cherry Point.
Pop it in there, back it up. No one knows that we're using...
I think everybody knew, but... Yeah.
Anyway.
Hey, glad you're with us. We got more of this goofiness coming up. We also have a terrific trivia question and a chat with a fellow who's a big Volkswagen fanatic. All of that and more on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, car enthusiast. Are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Well, what? Back to the second segment of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and it's time for the windshield view. And today we're going to be
talking with a guy from Scrap Metal Volkswagen Club. That's Kyle Fisher. Kyle, are you on the air with us today?
I am. How are you guys doing?
Hey, we're excellent. Glad we finally got connected up. So that for the folks who are listening to this, we just behind the scenes, we were scrambling with technology to try to remember what Kyle's phone number was.
Yes, and we're not on YouTube yet, so everybody say, what are they doing in there?
We got you now. It's all good. So you're gearing up for some cool things coming up, I know, but didn't you guys just finish a big toy run here not a couple of weeks ago?
You know, we do a lot of different things with the Kelso Chamber of Commerce group. There in Cowlitz County, so we did a big food drive recently, and we helped promote their toy drive that they did.
Yeah, cool. How did that go?
You know, great. Anything that we can do here in Cowlitz County to help, you know, anybody, neighbors, friends, family, you know, we're all about doing. So that's what we try to focus on here this time of the year, since a lot of our cars are more fair weather vehicles, you could say.
Yeah, excellent. And for folks who are listening from some other part of the country besides the Pacific Northwest, Kelso in Cowlitz County is about 110 miles south of Seattle, reasonably close to the coast. And it's a beautiful part of the area. There's just wonderful scenery. The mountains are close, and there's lots of fishing and other good stuff. Rivers run through there, so it's a great place to be, and some terrific cruising roads down there too.
Oh, for sure. You know, Cowlitz County and especially Longview was founded, you know, on top of the lumber industry.
Right.
We have a huge warehouser yard that does a lot of exporting. I've actually hauled logs in there myself.
Not in a Volkswagen, though.
No, that was definitely a log truck. But, you know, they actually use those Volkswagen motors for sawmills. Back in the day, my grandpa actually ran one on his personal sawmill with a Volkswagen motor. So,
nice.
You know, that would have been called a Jippo, as my dad said, a Jippo timber outfit.
Yeah, he mostly did stuff, you know, for just his friends and everybody with that small sawmill. But,
yep.
You know, anytime I can find a Volkswagen, you know, weigh in, I always try to plug it a little bit, you know.
Oh, you got to love the Volkswagen.
Well, you do.
And we do.
So how did you how did you come up with the name Scrap Metal Volkswagen? I mean, I think I know, but give us some background there.
Oh, well, this is actually kind of a funny story. There's a website called The Samba, and back before Facebook was as big as it is, and before even MySpace, the forums were a place that we always went to get information, exchange a laugh or two, and I posted a picture of my car, and I was a young man, and I didn't have a ton of money to pour into it, and some guy told me that it looked like it was made for nothing better than scrap metal. So that's pretty much how I founded the club, and that's why I named it that.
That's awesome.
And so
many people, not everybody has, an unlimited bank account. And when you build a car, you build it with what you got. And sometimes you got to make something that makes what you got work with something else you got.
and it sounds like
go with it together.
It sounds like a great way to go. Pre-Rat Rod era, before the Rat Rods really came in, he was...
That's Volkswagen of all times.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lots of rust.
That's the Volkswagen way.
Yeah, it
is. Whatever you can put off of somebody else's car onto yours to make it still roll.
Says the guy who's built trikes out of Volkswagen chassis.
Oh, yeah. I've built all kinds of stuff out of Volkswagens.
Yeah.
Well, they are a reliable platform, and you think about the history, and a lot of the platform has not changed that much since they rolled off the assembly line in the 40s.
Not at all.
And you can... It's kind of like the equivalent of India. What's the motorcycle that's British, but it's been there forever?
Oh, the Royal Enfield?
Yeah, it's kind of like that. You can find a Volkswagen something anywhere. Just pop it in, pop it out, and off you go.
Yep. Well, sure.
So very, very universal.
Yeah, Kyle, when you were talking about the lumber thing, I just for a second had a flashback. You've seen the competitive chainsaw guys, over the years, you got these big motors. I actually saw a chainsaw with a Volkswagen motor in it one time, just entered in some category or class for those things. Just fun. A couple of guys picked it up, and used it to saw through the logs. So I'm trying to think of anything that uses a motor that hasn't, at one point or another, been built from a Volkswagen. I'm short. I don't think I can
come
up with
it. Is there a boat? Any boats?
Oh, yeah. There's lots of boats. Lots of airplanes.
Yeah, I remember the airplane. Yeah, the little experimental airplanes.
Ultralights and...
Ultralights and stuff.
Yeah. Yep.
So talk to us about your club there. How it started then, what year, and how many people are involved with it?
Well, we started, technically started in 2006. It was, started by me, one of my best friends from high school, and my brother, Corey. And we had a couple T-shirts made, some sweatshirts, and we would get together on the weekends and drive our cars around. And, that was back before I was married, had kids. And, eventually life kind of caught up to all of us, I think. And we kind of all went our separate ways. But, we still all had our gear, I guess you could say. I still had my sweatshirts and, would wear them around. And, 2014, I moved to Longview, and I ended up meeting up with a couple Baja guys of all, all things here in Cowles County. And I came to find out that the Longview-Kelso area is rich in Volkswagen people. I didn't really know that. So we started hanging out for about a year. And, there was a couple clubs in town and everything, and we all kind of got together and decided to bring the scrap metal name back. And we went from three of us in the first year to now we have a full table, or I guess you can call, a chapter up in the Tacoma Puyallup area. And then we range all the way down to Southern Oregon with guys that are either involved or have shown interest on our Facebook pages, stuff like that. But we get together with Oregon guys every once in a while. And, that's kind of why I like to promote this way, because we're trying to grow. We're trying to expand. That's always our goal. So the more people that know about us, the better,
Absolutely.
So that's kind of where we're at right now.
So what are some of the criteria, if you will, for becoming a part of the group?
Well, you know, what we like to see, this is what I always tell people.
I suppose you're going to make them have a Volkswagen.
Well, that is one important piece.
All right.
Does it have to run, though?
It's 10% your car, and it's 90% who you are as a person.
There you go.
I guess I could have grown, I could have put ads out. I could have grown this thing a lot bigger. I could have paid for Facebook space. But we really, you know, anybody that's in the club or anybody that's, you know, a big part of it, I've met personally, that goes to the people down in Oregon and all the way to the people up in the Seattle area. If you're part of our club, I've either made a shirt for you, I've made your stickers and personally hand-delivered them. We've taken trips down to Salem, Oregon to meet up with people and to, you know, try to expand. You know, the criteria wise, you know, be a good person. Know that this club is family oriented and that all of our, you know, we definitely like to have family in the club. Mm-hmm. And just be cool. You know, everybody wants to build their car the way they want to build it, not necessarily the way that everybody else thinks they should. So that's a big deal too, you know. Be there for help. Don't be there to be overbearing with how people build their cars.
Well, hey,
that is really cool. And that's exactly what a car club ought to be. We're going to talk more about it. Kyle, will you hang on for us for another segment?
I sure will.
Excellent. Stay right here. We'll be back.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored, four-on-the-floor, red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, good evening, officer. A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, I'm a catch, more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
More horsepower, chrome, and rust after these messages.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around.
Hello, this is Zach with Cascade Campers. You're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Welcome back to the third segment of the show, and this week we're talking with Kyle Fisher, a guy whose middle name might as well be Volkswagen. Well, Kyle, as we left off on the other side, you were talking about the size of your club and the fact that you like to know everybody on a personal basis, and you also mentioned that, middle of southern Oregon and that, and the Baja. There's a lot of dunes down in the Oregon coast, and especially down there. Do you see a lot of your members or some of your members down there still very much involved with, let's say, rails that are using the Volkswagen sand rails or dune buggies, as well as just the Baja bugs themselves?
Sure. We have a lot of Manx-style guys up here in Cowlitz County, but A lot of our guys down like in the Coos Bay, Florence area sure do have those sand rails. We get a lot of stories from those guys, you know, talking about hitting the dunes out there on the Oregon coast, which if anybody is familiar, you know, Winchester Bay is pretty big. You know, there's a lot of area down there.
Huge.
Well, I know that a buddy of mine had a, for a while, short period of time, he had a Volkswagen in high school, and he kind of Baja'd it out somewhat. And we had, growing up, we had sand pits in our county up in Whatcom County, and sand pits are basically huge, huge, like gravel pits, but sand pits. And I don't know what the deal is, but we had all those sand pits. And that's where a lot of us would go out and get sideways with our vehicles. And I even took my dad's doom buggy out and did something and came back, and my dad said, "That's it, I'm selling it." So sad chapter there, real sad chapter. But nonetheless, that sand and rails, sand and buggies, and even just taking a regular Volkswagen, put a little good-sized tires on it, and you can get that thing going around just fine.
Well, yeah, people, you know, they are, you know, small horsepowered engines, but the way that Volkswagen geared them from the factory, you know, you can get up and down. We've taken our Bajas out here on the trails that, you know, 4x4s couldn't go.
Yep.
Because they weigh too much or whatnot. But the gearing to weight to horsepower was really thought out by Volkswagen when they engineered these cars. I kind of always have a saying whenever people start talking about wanting to get into heavy modification and everything, or, you know, putting freeway flyers or a fifth gear in them or something like that. I always say, hey, you know, when they engineered them at the factory, they engineered them for a reason, and they seem to be pretty reliable until you start doing stuff to them. And then that's when you start getting that Volkswagens aren't reliable stereotype that just
start
isn't true if you kind of leave them alone.
No, well, you know, that is exactly the story. My ex-brother-in-law had a Volkswagen. I think it was probably a 67 or 68, so, you know, that genre of car. And he was a big Bow Wow fan. He built all kinds of parts into the thing, and he had increased the compression so much that he fairly regularly would separate the heads from the block because he had too much compression. And, you know, you just strip the bolts and, you know, pound the heads right out of the thing.
I had that problem with my race car.
Yeah, and, you know, so his attitude there was, well, these things aren't very well made. And we said, this isn't a Volkswagen. You messed with it.
Not a Porsche. Yeah, it's a Volkswagen.
It's not an unreliable car. You're an unreliable mechanic. How about that? He never quite got that piece.
Well, I mean, honestly, once you start burning pistons in that are over, you know, what they use in the 1600s, you're kind of done with the Volkswagen parts. I mean, because that's all aftermarket if it's, you know, anything bigger than 85. So,
you get the 88.5 slip-ins. That's about as big as you can go.
Yep. Well, so
but,
I know that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, some of the other stuff that we do as a club is, I didn't know if you guys knew about this or not, but we kind of put on we put on our own European-only car show.
Oh, great.
Up in Lewis County, Washington every year.
Okay, yeah. That's exactly what I was hoping to hear about. Tell us about that one.
Well, so, you know, it started with just, you know, us wanting to do a show where my brother and I grew up. And the first year we had about 40 cars come out, and the next year we upped it to 120 cars, all European, mostly Volkswagens. And we had some BMWs, some Mercedes. We did that with the guys from Columbia County Euros. We kind of went into it together and, you know, brought all of our pieces together. And then this last year we were back to about 45, but we had to compete with the good guys letting Volkswagens in for the first time
the
same day.
That would make a difference,
That would do it.
Yeah, so, that would make it worth the drive up to Tacoma for sure.
Yeah, so a lot of the northern guys, you know, they stayed and went to the Good Guys show, which I've never been, but I hear it's a great, you know, it's a pretty big show, and there are a lot of cool cars there, so I can't blame them. But, you know, that's something that we do every year and we're trying to grow. And definitely going to be doing it in 2019. So, you know,
what part of the year is that in?
It's to be determined.
Where can people find out more about these kind of things?
So our Facebook page is the best source for any information, and that's just facebook.com/scrapmetalvwclub. Anything that we do, it will be posted there, any of our get-togethers. And then if you're in a specific state like Washington or Oregon, we have Facebook groups set up for those two states right now. So if you want to be part of the group, just search on Facebook, Scrap Metal VW Club Washington, and that group will pop right up.
Excellent. Well, what we will do for sure is link your Facebook page to ours so that people can find you. And please, you know, feel free if you've got events coming up and you want to, you know, publicize them, share them on our page as well.
Yep.
That way we'll all be, you know, helping you out to do the things you're doing.
Shane, I think you were going to ask.
Yeah, I was going to ask what kind of Volkswagens he actually has in his stable.
Yeah.
There you go.
I know you got more than one because you're a Volkswagen guy.
Well, you know, I have a wife that disagrees with having more than one Volkswagen at a time.
So do I, but I got more than one.
Because it seems like all the other ones I get don't run or move.
Yes.
So the one I have right now is a 73 Karmann Ghia that sits on a 63 Karmann Ghia pan or chassis. It's a big taillight car with all five lugs, swing arm, running gear, with a 1600 motor. I went and narrowed the front end 6 inches, and I'm running different, other than stock wheels. They kind of look like Randars from Impy. So.
Oh, right on. Sounds like a cool combination.
Well, that's what happens with Volkswagens and some other cars too. If you put one, you buy one and you put it in the garage,
and
you
more.
Turn off the lights, you go back. By the time you turn the lights on, there's another one, and it just seems like they kind of make more when you're not looking.
The funny, you know, I guess you could say it. Make a long story short is, I had that car 10 years ago, and then I went through some personal stuff, and I sold all of my Volkswagen stuff off. And then, of course, about a year later, I bought a bunch back and have been in it ever since then. But this car that I had or that I have now, I sold, and it changed hands in Puyallup, Tacoma, Bremerton about 5-6 times. The last guy that had it, I became friends with on Facebook, and he was actually building the car, and I liked to follow the progress and everything on it. He went through some personal stuff and had to get rid of all his Volkswagen stuff, and I ended up buying just the body back from him. So it's all stripped down. I mean, there's nothing in the car. It's basically just a shell with no running gear, no pan. And then, so over the last 3 years, I've been, you know, gathering parts from all around the state to put it back on the road.
It's a very familiar story.
Like a rolling project.
Yeah, that's how it starts.
So, out of all your Volkswagens, which one you regret getting rid of the most?
Well, you know, it's funny because I regret getting rid of this one the most when it was a true 73. They had 8-spoke impies on it, a 1915 built for it. I mean, it was a really nice car when I got rid of it. But, you know, life happens, and sometimes you got to get rid of your cars, like
a lot
of car guys know.
I had to pass on to my 54 low light. So,
yeah, glad I got it back. I just got it back in kind of a different, you know, had to go a different direction with it than what it was, but. You know, we love driving it. You put the kids in it. We go around town, get a lot of looks in it.
Well, you know, cars are interesting because I've owned my El Camino since 91, and it was a replacement for my wife's vehicle because we had a Honda that was very reliable, and I bought the El Camino as my daily transportation, and she ended up driving the Honda. And it replaced her. It basically, she had a Fiat, 70-something Fiat, and it was not very reliable.
No.
It leaked quite bad. So when we got rid of that, it was like, okay, $5,000. Okay, I can afford that. Let's go find it. And I bought my El Camino. And I drove it as a daily driver for years and years and years and years. And then finally we end up buying a van. Well, then the El Camino parked and has never been driven since. And it's been sitting there forever and ever. And I don't want to part with it. And now I got the money, but I don't have the time. So personal things get in the way of one's hobbies and passions. But on the other hand, it's family, and that's more important. And I think everybody listening to this show knows the ups and downs of vehicle ownership. And things happen, and sometimes you have to say goodbye or you have to say, can't do anything now. So we all understand. Exactly. So sounds like you've got everything going right now, and that's a great place to be.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't mention, you know, some of the other guys' cars while I was talking to y'all.
Yeah, yes. Go for it.
But, you know, some of the guys here in town, if you are coming through Facebook, you might see Chris and his bug truck, Bob, basically the way that we run the club is we have five positions on the table here, national, that we call it. That's just kind of the way we split everything up. So I have my Ghia, Chris has his bug truck, Corey has a 61 with a 2110 in it, Richard has a Super Beetle that he's kind of put almost like a track look to, and you know, then we have Eric, who goes by Tom Fuller. You guys might know him if you ever catch him online.
Sure.
He has a right-hand drive Karmann Ghia. And then, you know, we have a lot of 65, 69s, another Baja-style bug truck. I mean, so when it comes to, you know, our club, a lot of people will ask, what kind of cars do you guys let in? And it's, you know, we let more than just, you know, custom or stock. Like I said, you know, we want to see everything. We like water-cooled cars, too, even though we don't have a ton of water-cooled people. But Juttas, Rabbits, Corrados, I mean, anything like that. If it's Volkswagen, we think it's cool.
Now, what's a bug truck?
So there was, you know, a lot of people will do these kits they'll cut the back off.
Okay, yes.
Now, the two guys in our club, the reason why I kind of bring them up and push them is I can't give you the name of the kit, but it was a kit built in the 70s that was made to look good. You know, this isn't a homemade, get your grinders out and start cutting your car up. This is an actual kit that was built in the 70s and put on. And so Chris is slammed to the ground as low as you can get it. I've seen it throw sparks. And then the other bug truck is built more like a Baja, where it's lifted, it's got bigger tires on it, and that's Ray's car. And so we have so many different looks of the club. You know, that's what we tell everybody. If you show the passion like we do, your car, you know, as long as it can get to the shows, that's what we really look at.
That's just super. I know that pictures of those guys' cars are probably on your Facebook page, and we're getting kind of down to the end of the segment here, so I want to make sure that we give people one more shot about your locations and stuff. It is Scrap Metal VW Club on Facebook, and people can go there. We're also going to put a link to that on our page when we put the show up, and the show will probably drop this later this week. And, gosh, you know, if you got 5 seconds to tell us, have you got an event coming up you want to plug?
Our next event that I would like to plug would be the Avery's Air-Cooled Show in Kelso. That's going to be in May. We don't put that one on, but we heavily help promote it. And
excellent.
We were actually in the latest issues of Hot VWs from
super.
Last year's show.
Super.
So if anybody out there wants to see our cars, then get the December issue of Hot VWs, and you'll see a few of us in there.
We will do it.
Great time.
Kyle, thanks for stopping by. I appreciate your conversation. We look forward to having you back as a guest another time once we get into the next year. What do you think of that?
Hey, anytime you guys want, I'm just a phone call away.
Super. Kyle Fisher, thanks for stopping in again. A very cool Rat Rod story you can tell your friends is coming up next on this continuing edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.
Listen, as a hiring manager, I've got to tell you, the best job candidate isn't always the typical candidate. Sometimes they're a grad of life.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Sometimes the best candidates aren't the ones you're used to.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent.
Hey, car enthusiast, are you in need of a restoration and fabrication shop that turns old steel into rolling works of art? Then look no further than E-Company Customs Hot Rods and Restorations. E-Company Customs, that's Customs with a K, is the Northwest's fastest-growing restoration and fabrication shop, providing frame-off restoration, custom mods, upholstery, rust repair, hand-done metalwork, motor work, body and paint, and a whole lot more. To book an appointment, visit them at ecompanycustoms.com or stop by their shop at 15002 Suite A, Highway 99, Linwood, Washington. E-Company Customs, providing a stress-free experience to both new and returning customers.
Stick around. We'll be back after these words.
When it comes to saving money, don't act like a baby.
Goo goo gaga.
Be the boss and make a budget.
I'm the boss, baby.
You're the boss of me.
I am the boss of you.
Are not.
M2.
Are not.
M2.
Need a little help?
Aren't you going to do any work?
I'm very busy delegating.
Create a personalized savings plan.
We can share.
You obviously didn't go to business school.
And get other tools and tips at feedthepig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs.
This is Elton Roundhill and Shane Osborne with E-Company Customs in Linwood, Washington. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Cody with Bow Wow Air Cooled. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
This is Robert with Bonbrenner Motorsport. You're listening to Horsepower Chrome and Rust.
Welcome to the fourth segment of the show. This is Cars Confidential, where we hear a story from Brady. My daughter is going to try to take over your job.
Is she? I'd love
She's
to have her
She's been practicing every night since I got the books.
Has she?
Yeah, I met
That's great.
I met Dave at the Christmas party.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Excellent. No, bring Taylor in. It'd be marvelous. We'd love to have a guest storyteller. That'd be perfect. So this one's actually kind of a cool one. This is from Mark Heller. This is out of book three, and it's called Memories of a Montego in the Mountains.
All right.
And I picked it because... When was the last time you heard anything about a Mercury Montego?
Wow.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, with that in mind, I've always been a fan of road trips and long drives in the mountains. The first road trip I can remember was from Kettering, Ohio, to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway with my grandfather when I was 7. He had a cherry red 68 Dodge Coronet 440 with the dealer-installed air conditioner, mind you, and the original Dodge Boy Sheriff window sticker. Now, on the way back, we went off course through Kentucky. It's kind of... considerably off course. I remember seeing old shack type houses way up in the hills and asking my grandfather who lived there, and he told me, well, they were hillbillies. For many years, I thought hillbillies came from another world. And actually, well,
might as well.
Maybe. This will be confirmed in my latter years during my time living in West Virginia and visiting my in-laws in southwestern Virginia. Oh, yeah. So early in 1985 was not good to my transportation situation. I was still living in Northern Virginia. I had totaled my 74 Mustang II, thank goodness, in February, watching the new owner of my beloved 72 Gran Torino Sport Fastback run it into the ground, failing in a bid to buy it back from him and having to watch it languishing in his neighborhood. So in April, I finally went down to Dick Keller Autos in Fairfax. It was a buy here, pay here kind of a dealership, where my friend Kenny and his family had bought many cars. I gave him a down payment on a 71 Toyota Corolla Mark II because I'd never had to make payments on a car before, and $122 a month seemed like a fortune. It was $122 a month.
Yeah,
wouldn't
that
be,
was,
well,
what year was this?
74, but still.
That's a lot of money.
It was a chunk. It was a very clean, great on gas, only had 60,000 miles on it, but I became bored with it pretty quickly, and within 3 weeks of taking ownership, I was already looking for something else. So I opened up the local want ad magazine, the one that caught my eye, was a 72 Mercury Montego MX for $325.
Perfect.
I just
wow.
love this.
I love
this
it.
Was the Mercury version of my Gran Torino, and I'd always liked Montegos, so I called a guy named Paul who was listed in the ad. He lived in McLean, which was not too far from me. Now, according to Paul, his daughter had driven the car, but she wanted something more economical. He said it was not much to look at, but it ran good. I told him I'd be there in the hour. So on the way to see the Montego, I came up with an idea to obtain the Mercury and dump the Corona at the same time. Oh, Corona. I had no money to buy the Montego, but since his daughter was looking for an economical car, well, what if I could get Paul to take over the payments on the Toyota, give me the Montego, and $100 cash? I spent the remainder of the drive practicing the wording of this proposal.
I love it.
The Montego was beyond what I was expecting. It was a fastback with faded yellow paint, dented and dinged with a big clump of gorilla hair in the rear quarter, but there was no rust. I opened the hood, I listened to the musical sound of Paul starting the 351 M400 motor, and after listening to the early 70s Toyota 4-banger with only an AM radio for almost a month, it was like the perfect symphony. The interior was perfect, the gauges were exactly the same as my Gran Torino, it even had the bucket seats and the console I longed for when I had the Gran Torino, so I took it for a ride around the block, and while the front end needed some work, the tires were bald, the engine was smooth and powerful and the transmission shifted perfectly. This was exactly what I was looking for. So when we pulled back in, I laid out my proposal to Paul. To my surprise, he not only did not laugh at me, but he was actually interested. He asked if we could switch cars for the weekend, and he'd have his daughter drive the Toyota and get a mechanic to look at it. Well, since it was Saturday afternoon, his mechanic wouldn't be able to look at it until the following Monday. Clearly, he doesn't know any good mechanics, because... I gladly took the Montego keys, and I drove off. Now, since the Montego was not mine yet, my intentions were to drive it home and use it sparingly. Still, I was only 19, and the more I drove it, the more my emotions took over. The temptation combined with a well-earned three-day weekend as a result of working 10 consecutive days, and I decided the Montego needed an extensive road test. Sunday morning, I woke up at 6, and off I went. I took it to show my dad, who just shook his head. Whatever. He was never a car guy anyhow, I didn't understand. Then I headed to work to show it off. I was working in the warehouse of Best Products at the time, so I drove to the back of the loading dock and I summoned whoever I could find to come and look at it. Reactions were mixed, ranging from cool to, oh God, not another one. Seeing that my coworkers were not having the appreciation for this fine piece of machinery, I decided to move on. As I took off, I punched the gas pedal so I'd make my mark during the grand exit. Underestimating the Montego's power combined with its balding tires and worn front end, it fishtailed for about 200 feet, just barely missing the wall and a nearby dumpster. Feeling my heart racing, I decided that I should head for the mountains. On bald tires. I headed for West Virginia. It's about 70 miles away. Now, I'd been there many times before, but as a passenger, never actually driving by myself, I drove past Leesburg on Route 7 and eventually wound up on Route 9 until I made it to the West Virginia line. With no map, and this being the days before GPS, I got lost going down the back roads. Due to the limited number of gas stations, I nearly ran out of gas, and getting lost and running out of gas in someone else's car is not a good thing. Somehow I wound up near Maryland, got directions and gas, and eventually found my way home. By the time I got home that early Sunday morning, there were over 250 miles clocked on the odometer for the day, and during this trip, the Montego and I were forming a bond. The gauges glowed just like my Gran Torino, and it drove just like it, yet it had even more power. The radio stations were mostly country, and the Dan Seals song Old Yellow Car would come on repeatedly. It was like the car gods were telling me that this car was part of my destiny. With newfound confidence, I called Paul on Monday afternoon. Paul told me that his daughter was not really interested in the Corona and that I would need to buy the Montego outright. My heart sank, and I was nearly in tears. I didn't have the funds to purchase it, and I was tied up in Toyota payments. Regretfully, I bought the Montego back, taking the longest route possible. As I pulled into Paul's street, the song Old Yellow Car came on one last time. I kept in contact with Paul for the next week, calling him to check on the Montego as I attempted to unload the Toyota. One of my coworkers expressed interest in taking over the payments on the Toyota, and I called Paul later that day to let him know that, hey, I may soon be able to buy the Montego. He informed me that he couldn't wait any longer. The Montego was sold in the next couple of days to a mechanic who was using a drivetrain to put in an old Volvo. To this day, it infuriates me when someone takes over a great piece of American iron and scraps it to bolster an anemic import. He said if I came over, he'd give me the buyer's number and he'd have no use for the rest of the car. Well, I had no interest in the Montego without the drivetrain. It would cost way more to restore it than the car was worth, but I went over to see the Montego one last time. As I left their house, I took one last look, knowing that the car that brought me joy just a short time before would be no more. While it's been many years ago, the Montego remains as one of my great road trip memories.
What a great story.
Isn't that just...
You knew it was not going to end well.
Nah, man.
But it's still a great story.
The idea of driving through the mountains of West Virginia on a car with bald tires, though, if you've ever been on any of those roads, that's not for the faint of heart out there. Well, Yeah, well, as usual, you know, the stories in the old car nut book, is they're just a gang of fun. In fact, some of my best memories are reading some of those stories, at least best memories of the show. And as usual, we are right now, as this show breaks, a couple of weeks, well, a week and a half from Christmas. So if you go on Amazon, you can get any one or all three of those books, and they make a great gift.
They do. And what's interesting is when you do read those stories, it brings up all the memories of your own stories.
Oh, yes.
So is there word of the fourth one being out yet?
Not yet, no.
I've seen the cover.
Yeah, the cover is out.
The cover is out.
But I don't know. I'm going to have to call David and see what the deal
you
is.
You should talk to David on about that when he was at the party.
Yeah. Oh,
I know. I didn't ask him.
Yeah.
We mainly talked about his car.
That's right, he got a new car.
He got a new car.
He's trying to unload it.
Oh, is he? Well, he does that. You know, you go through cars.
Yeah.
That's right. He's going to find
another. I'm asking around. He'll find somebody.
He'll find another station
wagon. 75?
It is a 73.
Monte Carlo.
No.
No.
Gran Turismo.
I thought he got. Oh, well, he bought.
It kind of looks like it'd be a cross between a Mercedes, a Lincoln Continental, and a T-Bird.
I think he told me he bought
really great cars.
A Monte Carlo.
No, it's Gran Turismo.
Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
No wonder he's going to try to get rid of it.
Well, you know, it's
I hate to
they're
say
really
it,
beautiful cars.
I thought he was talking about a Monte Carlo the whole time I was listening. No. But that's my deaf left ear now.
Yeah.
And I can't. He was to my left, and there was a lot of things going on. I swore it was the Monte Carlo. I'm like, how much you get it for? And I'm like, wow, that's a great price. Well, we're going to be right back with more of the show and this week's trivia question and a couple other things. So stick with us. The Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust Show. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how would you like to have a chance to win a fully restored four-on-the-floor red 1965 Mustang? Well, you can. Linwood Rotary is raffling off this fully restored 65 Mustang at a car show near you. Chance to win this car is just $10 per raffle ticket. For more information and to find out where the car will be displayed, visit rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. rotaryoflinwood.com/car-raffle. Proceeds will go into funding local charities.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Hang on till right after these messages.
1 in 7 Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Robert Durf with the Porsche Club of America Driver Skills Program. Thank you for listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And just want to remind everybody that it's no fun unless it smells a little bit like burnt oil and burnt rubber.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man. Only you can understand.
That's right.
Help us if you
Steve
can.
Steve driving his El Camino on the El Camino Real.
Yes.
It's the fifth and final segment of the show. This is Around the Wheel. We got a bunch of cool stuff coming up and things that are going to be happening in the new year as well. But first, last week when we left our heroes, we had asked a very difficult and challenging trivia question. Ah, yes, we did. We asked, what was the car, what specific car, had the honor to be GM's 100 millionth car?
That's right.
Now, not just Chevy or Buick or, you know, Pontiac or Rolls, but of all GM, they finally got around to making 100 million cars, and we wanted to know which one was it you know, of all of them.
Malibu?
Well, see, now people, that's what they thought. But that's not what it was. No.
It was an Astro van.
It wasn't an Astro van. It could have been. It should have been an Astro. It would have been very cool.
I love Astros. I got my second one. I'm right.
No, it wasn't a van, but it was somehow suitable to be that car. Billy Bennett from Boulder, Colorado, and I love to just say that. Billy Bennett from Boulder, Colorado, hit me up on Facebook, and he said, I know what this is because I have Google. And it turned out that it was March 16th. 1966.
Wow.
A very good year, which means GM was doing pretty well, and of course it was during those years. The 100 millionth car off the assembly lines at any GM plant was close. It was a 1966 Olds Toronado.
Close enough.
Could have been a
Toronado.
Could have been a Eldorado, you know, same thing.
Toronado, Eldorado. Yeah.
Lansing, Michigan. The plant in Lansing was the one that rolled that thing off the line, and that was it. And it, there's a picture of it. It's way too small to put up on Facebook, or I would, but it's really a neat little silver up in the top there.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Very yes. Nice. And the old Toronado was kind of a landmark car in those years because front-wheel drive, lots of power.
Yeah.
It was, you know, that and the Cadillac Eldorado were like they were the shiz for a while. Mm-hmm. But, yep, that was it. So Billy scores his very own, ladies and gentlemen, custom-made and engraved bucket of horsepower, chrome, and rust barn find dust, which, of course, as you all know, if you sprinkle on almost any car, the dust itself will quadruple the value of your vehicle because people will think you found it in a barn.
So we're custom-making them now?
We're custom-making them, yeah. Yes. Everyone. Everyone an individual.
So I should let everybody in the sweatshop go home?
Signed. No, because we still got to have somebody sign them.
Oh, yes.
They can forge your signature on there real easy.
Yes.
Mine, too. Anyway.
They probably spell it right.
It could be that, yeah. Shern Osbane, wait, what? Who is this guy? The question for this coming week, the question for Christmas, are you ready? The Christmas show is going to be a great one, and this question somehow is appropriate. Where and what, well, where, was the first drive-in movie opened, the actual physical theater itself, where was it, and when?
Ooh. Oh, boy. You know, I drive-in movies.
Yeah.
My first memory of a drive-in movie was when I was a child and my folks had a Comet station wagon.
Ooh, Merc.
And
crazy about a Mercury.
We loaded up myself, and I'm thinking my sister may have been with us at that time. And my mom popped up a big shopping bag's worth, you know, grocery bag.
Oh, yeah. Grocery bag.
Full of popcorn.
Completely see-through from the butter. Oh, yeah.
And we took that in with us.
Which wasn't really butter.
And yes. I remember one of the movies I do remember was, it was a Johnny Appleseed. It was...
oh, my gosh.
It was like wow. Disney.
Yeah. That's an old movie.
And it was like the cartoon. And then after that came on, I think it was a Western or something, and I fell asleep at that point. But I remember Johnny Appleseed cartoon. And... that was something that my folks did, and oh, I yeah. remember going to that, and then we saw That Darn Cat
jeez,
at the movie drive-in yeah, movie theater, yeah, and that yeah. is a classic movie, folks.
It sure is.
Check out That Darn Cat.
Well, that's our cue to hit the gas until Christmas Day. Thanks to Kyle Fisher for the conversation about Scrap Iron Volkswagen Club. Thank you for liking and following our website and our Facebook page. For Shane Osborne and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot right there on the floor. Slide by next week for another edition of Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust.